All right, we're back spinning it. What episode are we on? This is like, I think it's like episode 5, I believe. You know, I was just telling my special guest here today how I'm like, man, you know, the show's kind of a lot. Gotta do it bi-weekly, but I'm, you know what, to be honest, the last person that I should be, you know, complaining to or even venting to, because my special guest be doing this daily. Alexis Downey, the main, the queen of Duck Stream, is in the stew. What up, AD?
Thanks for having me. The queen of Duck Stream. That's very kind of you.
You are truly the queen, you know, and it's like, it's crazy because I had the pleasure of being in the studio, and we were just saying right now, big Office fans, how the turntables, and not DJ turntables, which is kind of related
clever.
To the show. See, I learned from the queen. I learned from the queen, you know, and so I got to say, welcome to the show. I can't believe I'm saying that to you right now.
Thank you.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't that long ago we were on opposite sides.
Yes, Light the Lamp, episode 37, right?
36. We're here in 36.
Appreciate you, Steph. Thank you. You know, you got to keep me in check. And I believe Light the Lamp is now on what? Episode
168.
That's crazy. Yeah. And the fact that you haven't brought me back since from 36 to 160 is telling something.
You're right. We gotta have you back.
No. The whole point is you know, we're here now. Episode mm-hmm. 5 of Spinning. And again, I gotta say thank you for that, because you kind of you started for me. You brought me into your mm-hmm. show. You know, I had a little bit of a radio background before this, but never really dipped into like kind of the podcasting world. And even doing that interview that day, I realized, I'm like, man, this is not easy.
Aww.
So major props to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to have you on. And we had, I remember some of the bobbleheads and all the fun stuff on the table.
For sure.
Yeah. That was a good episode.
That was great. But now again, the turntables, and now it's all about you, AD. And we had to bring you in because I had, you know, it was perfect with Women in Sports Night just happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's just start off with that. You know, congrats on another one.
Thank you.
Yeah. And now that this is what, year 3?
Yes, this was the third year.
Yeah. So, you know, let's recap it a little bit. How was the night for you?
It was amazing. It was a crazy day, to be honest. Probably one of my most busy days since I joined the Ducks. We didn't plan to have a massive trade in the middle of the day. And, you know, we talked to Jacob Trouba before the panels. So my planning was a little bit switched around that day, but it was a really, really special day. Always enjoy having the opportunity to represent the organization to any capacity, but to be able to do it once again as the moderator for the panels that night, such a special chance, and just to connect with all of the other women that were there in the crowd that I got to chat with afterwards. It was so much fun. And it's amazing to see how much the event has grown since the first year. I wasn't a part of the panel the first year. I was doing some other things that year, but to what it started at to now, it's an entire weekend. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's what I give so much props to, just our organization as a whole, mm-hmm. is that, you know, especially with some of these specialty theme nights, it's like we always question, like, how are we going to outdo next, you know, how are we going to do it bigger next year? And, you know, and aside from this year, as much as we're recapping what just happened, literally a few days ago,
almost a week,
almost a week. Yeah. You know, I got to give the proper flowers right back. I think the second season was when AD became the first women broadcaster between the benches for our organization.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I haven't been able to really talk to you about even that. I know it's been a little while, mm-hmm. but that has to be one of your top moments here.
Oh,
right?
100%. That night for me was so special. It was something that, you know, I never really thought about doing in my career in the early parts of it. But then once that position between the benches, once more women started going there, it kind of came up as an idea. Hey, why don't we put you down there for the night, be a part of the broadcast with Dan Wood at the time, Steve Carroll. And I remember getting down there and I wasn't nervous. I wasn't nervous at all. It felt right.
Nice.
I don't know. It's something about it.
Were you expecting to be like super nervous?
Yeah, I was. I really was. I was expecting to kind of go into it. I guess I had no expectations, really. Yeah. Maybe that's why I wasn't nervous, but it felt comfortable, maybe because, you know, I love hockey. I've been around hockey for a long time. And when I got down there, it just was so cool to see that the game at that level and to see how fast it was. During warmups, I remember a couple of our guys skated over, gave me fist bumps and said, good luck tonight.
And so cool.
That to me was something I won't forget from the night, because it just was also having the team support made me a lot more comfortable.
Here, look, from my side, AD, I'm not going to lie. And this happened, what, in 2023? Right?
Yes. Yep.
I still remember this over a year later, but you in that power green suit, you did not look I was just like, 80's got this. She just looks the part. She's owning that spot right now. And you, I was like, I remember kind of joking around with you the day after. I was like, yo, that green suit, you rocked it. And it just, I felt like it was power, you know, and I'm even going to say right now, I've seen Wicked like 8 times. I'm no shame. But now I'm thinking like it's like you're the wizard up there. You know what I mean?
I
power
like
green suit, I you like know? That. But not evil, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
minus that part. You're just a total boss, is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
No, that's so cool. And here's the thing. I feel like fans that actively listen to you and the show, I feel like we need to know AD even on a deeper level, which is why you're the guest today.
Yeah.
Right. And these are all things that even I've been meaning to ask, but now I get to do it on a platform where now it's recorded and it's not just being candid, you know, conversations in the office or at a happy hour or whatever it is. But I've just been really meaning to like get to know AD in the sense of like, yo, who was AD before Duckstream?
Ooh.
You know, and what got you even into not only the broadcasting side? You just mentioned, you know, you've been around hockey, you've been a big hockey fan all your life. Like, come on, like tell us a little bit about that. Let's go back.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up in Ohio, born in Pittsburgh. So I just grew up in a family that loved sports, football, basketball, hockey, everything. We were a hardcore sports family. Grew up with the fandom, of course, from Pittsburgh, but it just was something that was integrated into my life from the early days. And, you know, growing up liking hockey, but not really finding that path until I got to high school. And we had a junior hockey team in my town, the Youngstown Phantoms. And I started going to games and I just realized, wow, I love this sport. No one in my family played. I just loved it. The passion, the fans, like there was just something special about it. So once I started going to those games in high school, I was a season ticket holder in high school, young teenage Alexis. Instead of going to, you know, basketball games, I'd be going to hockey games down with my friends. And at that point, I started watching NHL Network, found Catherine Tappan, who was on the network at the time. She's been the person I've looked up to my whole life and part of the reason I wanted to work in hockey. So I just kind of started there and then decided, you know what? I can do broadcasting. I love sports. Why don't I work in hockey someday? So I'm pretty lucky in the sense that I knew what I wanted to do from an early age.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. And so, you know, and even back when, you know, I've been here a long time, you know, I've been here, you know, like almost 15 years. I met, you know, Joey when he first came in, and obviously his purpose was to obviously take over the broadcast role. And then I remember getting close to him pretty quick. He's like, hey, I'm starting up Duckstream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Duckstream, what is that?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting away from the traditional secular radio side of the broadcast, bringing it out on the house and we're going to have like podcasts and stuff with it. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And he's like, then he started talking about the hiring process of who was going to be the main host for this. Right. And so, obviously, throughout the whole time, I'm checking in like, hey, how's it going? And then obviously you get the position, obviously been crushing it. But leading up to that, it was like, yeah, I have this one, Alexis Downey. She's really in the running. And I started to kind of learn what your background was. And in terms of like just this grind of like being willing to travel on your own to different, you know, big events within the hockey world. on your own dime, on your own, you know, tell us a little bit about that and how you feel like that kind of, you know, led to your trajectory of, mm-hmm. of getting your spot here with the Ducks.
I think that the way I grew up, I've always just been a hard worker. And that's something that my parents instilled on me. Where I'm from, Youngstown, Ohio, it's a very blue collar area. So I knew that in order to make it to where I wanted to be in this industry, it was not going to be easy. I always like to say there is a little bit of luck involved in this role too.
Perfect. Luck and timing.
Yeah, luck yes. and timing. Exactly. Luck and timing. So I was in Chicago. I was working as a social media manager and reporter for Stadium, but I had my NHL show Icebreakers that I edited, produced, hosted. I did everything for it. And for almost 3 years, and my goal was always just, I want to work for an NHL team. How can I make that happen? So I had that show at Stadium and I started freelancing outside of that. I was working for the Chicago Steel for free. I would make those drives on the weekend. I'd work as the rink reporter and analyst some games. Absolutely loved that. That was like such a passion thing for me. I just loved being around the junior level again, because that's kind of where it started for me in high mm-hmm. school a little bit too. So I had that and wanted to grow my show Icebreakers with Stadium. And I was trying to look at different ways that I could continue networking. So I paid my way to 2 Stanley Cups, networked as hard as I could while I was there. I went to a Winter Classic and was lucky enough that Stadium, after, you know, seeing how hard I had been working on the show, did pay for me to go to the Winter Classic.
It's about time.
Yeah, it took a little bit of time.
Took a little bit, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a grind, and it was worth every dime I, you know, invested in myself, because it helped me meet people all around hockey. There's so many wonderful people in this industry, not just in hockey, but outside of hockey. And I feel fortunate that I've met a lot of great people. And part of that second Stanley Cup covering it, when I was in Colorado, you know, I met some people, and that was when I started this process of interviewing here in Anaheim. And I think that was a big reason why I was able to get this role too, because, you know, everything I was doing there was a reflection of just kind of the hard work I had put in the last few years to finally make it with an NHL team.
Yeah. First of all, that's incredible. It reminds me of the times that, like, when I was like kind of in radio, even before sports, like being willing to like grind it out, work for free, pay yeah. your, like, and it's so crazy now, because, and I'm sure I don't want to speak too much on behalf of you right now, but like, it's so funny, because I feel like we're getting into positions where if people either around us or, you know, quote unquote working for us or whatever, like, you wouldn't want that to happen to them.
No.
Them to go through that same, like, finally, absolutely someone not. At Stadium back in the day, we're finally realize, you're like, you know what? No, like, you deserve this.
Yeah.
And we're gonna pay for, you know, and it's like, it feels good to like get to that point. But mm-hmm. I feel like we're both in points too, where we're like, we don't want anyone trying to go through that same journey.
Yeah.
To go through the same things, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I do want to thank Stadium for even helping me get those credentials.
Yeah.
Willie Parker, who was such a big part of helping me while I was at Stadium. He's an amazing person. I'm our assignment desk editor. He was the one that helped me,
yeah.
you know, not be scared to try to do these opportunities. And, you know, I was lucky enough that I was able to send myself to those places.
Yeah.
I mean, I was freelancing even outside of those roles. I was working with the Big East Conference. I was doing anything I could to basically set myself up to make it. And yeah, in looking at this next generation of people that want to get into sports, like, I always think, you know, why are there unpaid internships? Like, it's such a hard thing for people trying to get into the industry. And I know it's not easy for everyone.
Yeah.
So I always try to give back whenever I can. I always try to, if someone wants to chat about working in sports, I feel like I'm very honest with them. It's not easy, but it's so worth it. And yeah, I definitely wouldn't want anyone to have to do some of those things that,
yeah.
you know, that we've went through, but sometimes it is a part of the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like sometimes, I guess, paying your dues, but sometimes we get we probably get in a phase. I mean, I think about this all the time. It's like, how else can I really change it so that people don't, you know, after me, don't have to go through those same dudes, mm-hmm. I guess, quote unquote. So that's incredible. So it's like the other question I wanted to kind of, you know, going from being from Pittsburgh, what you consider a big hockey market, mm-hmm. right? Coming here to Anaheim, right? Southern California, a lot, you know, I feel like I was talking to Mikey about this on the last episode about like the conception of like Southern California hockey, mm-hmm. right? Like, what's your take on that? Not being here for a few years.
Yeah.
How was that in the beginning for you? You know, just like, and to now.
It was very different when I first got here. When I was going through the interview process, I remember one of the things I wanted to know when I was asking even people around the league, you know, what is Anaheim like? What's the staff like? What's the organization like? And everyone kept telling me it's like a family, and it's a very close-knit group, because it is a small market and they're always having to work to, you know, pump the team up there. And when I got here, I learned about that very quickly. And not only that, but I was truly amazed at how kind our fan base is. We have such good fans here, and we're very lucky that you go to a game at Honda Center and people are always going to be willing to help you out. It's not like that everywhere. There are some hardcore, rough fan bases. Yeah. And just to see how dedicated our fans are, even through these tough years, it just speaks a lot to how much love there is for hockey here. And then I learned a lot about the different programs for youth around here and how much the sport has really grown. And I've talked to so many people about it. It's incredible. And I think that, you know, not only the Ducks, but anyone that is helping to grow the game of hockey in SoCal should be really proud of that, because it's hard to do in an area that hockey is not necessarily that accessible,
sure.
But now it's more accessible because of all these different programs. So I've really loved learning about that and how much the team gives back to the community here. And even that aspect of it, it's amazing.
Yeah. You really did go from like one extreme to the other.
Yeah, Chicago was a lot different. There was so much hockey everywhere.
Yeah.
When I was there, I mean, the Blackhawks, and then growing up with the Pittsburgh background, like that. Hardcore hockey out there, but here is just, it's so different. And I have such an appreciation for it.
No, that's awesome. That's all. I remember it's so funny how you're saying earlier about how you grew up around hockey. But then I remember just a couple of years ago, we did a learn to play together and it was like your first time really putting on gear, right?
I never put on gear, never carried a stick on the ice. I've skated a lot, but never did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what, why do you feel like, I guess now even kind of going back again, like, what, you loved it, obviously, mm-hmm. wanted to get into it from a broadcasting standpoint, career-wise. What was it about, you know, I guess, like, you know, why not put on the gear, you know, earlier in life?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what?
That's
what,
a good question.
Yeah.
I guess I never really thought about it. I mean, I've always owned figure skates. I never used hockey skates, actually, I think it was in college for the first time when I worked for Michigan State's hockey program. We did some skates after games and on random days. And that was the first time I put on hockey skates. So, I mean, that was, you know, when I was in college. But I think maybe it was because I was so dedicated to soccer and other sports growing up.
Okay, yeah.
That I just always used hockey as my fandom and like how I learned about it. I was so dedicated to learning about all the players in the USHL and where they went to college and following their journeys from there. I think that's always kind of set me apart a little
it
bit
set
because,
you apart, yeah.
Yeah, because I know the journey of mm-hmm. how you go from juniors, how you sometimes go to college or you go to the OHL, how that's all going to change now, how you get drafted, how hard it is to make it. Like, I have a real big appreciation for that and how much of a grind it is.
Yeah.
So I think that I just always kind of looked at hockey as my fandom
your
and
fandom.
Yeah. And how I wanted to work.
Didn't have to go too deep into it by literally playing it.
Yeah.
That was great.
And
that was great.
I can skate pretty well. So I did sign up for the next learn to play that we're having here soon.
Dang.
So we'll see.
I'm gonna have to jump out there too.
I think
I broke a rib on the last one. It was during that Superman drill. Yeah. And I straight up like belly flopped on the ice weren't wearing that much padding.
No.
I couldn't breathe for like the next like 2 weeks. I had to like sleep on my side. Anyway, it's not about me. It's not about me.
Well, don't do that this time.
No, we're not doing that this time. But so going back to to kind of the career path, you know, and then tying it in with kind of like the women in sports that we just had, and, you know, and talking through it, like just that, that career path, you know, as a woman in the broadcasting world. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk to us about that, you know, is, you know, the difficult times now to like, you know, maybe how it is now has gotten better.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
There are so many great people, like I said, in the industry. And I feel like I've met so many people that have helped me along the way that I, that's never something I've forgotten, whether they were female or male. But I always went into it with the mindset of, this is what I want to do. There's no reason I can't do this.
Yep.
And I think that that really helped me. I got a lot of no's, and those were the most difficult times. Again, pretty fortunate that I haven't had to face too much adversity. I mean, there's obviously people that can get a little mean online, but that can happen, you know, in anything.
Of course.
So as a woman in this space, it's really great to see how much it's grown, especially in hockey, because you have so many of these strong female figures now in not only executive roles, coaching roles now, but also on the broadcast side. There's a lot of really awesome analysts and hosts and reporters all around the NHL. So I think that it's a space that it's very accepting for women. Also having a league now like the PWHL, it's another example of just how strong women's hockey can even be. So I think that I've always just taken the approach I can do anything that, you know, I put my mind to, and that's helped me. And I've had a lot of great people around me that haven't, you know, that have encouraged me to follow the career path that I wanted to. And so many great people here too that always give me opportunities that help me grow. And I feel very fortunate on that end too.
Oh, that's incredible. And just in general, just like, you just mentioned the PWHL, you know, they're like packing in games, you know, like, hey, y'all gotta come out here to the West Coast at some point. That's what I'm missing.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta get your thoughts on, what is it called? The different rule in the PWHL. Is it the jailbreak rule? No, what are your thoughts on that?
I like it. I think it's important to kind of differentiate
a
little bit, because you know, you don't want to just follow what other leagues are doing.
Yes,
I think it's 100%. Cool that they have their own things, because that's what makes them unique, and the fans love it. So that always helps too.
Oh, it's I remember watching like a few of those. I'm like, dang, like now I'm kind of wanting that I want to see that kind of low key in the NHL, you know, a lot of leagues have done that for each other, right? Like kind of get influence from, and you all of a sudden, you know, even the NFL, they change their kickoff to, you know, the same as the is it even the XFL anymore?
I don't.
Is it the UFL?
It's the USFL.
The USFL.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Man, so many of these out here, but yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Regardless, that's rad. And even like during Women in Sports Night, I had the head coach of the LA Sparks there, and I remember even turning to her. I was like, "Yo, Caitlin Clark, like, how long is this go? Like, how long do you think this phenomenon is going to go?" And she's like, "I hope it goes for a long, long time," you know, and just seeing just like how women's sports has just grown so much, you know, women's soccer out here, even in the LA area is like huge right now, you know? So yeah, it's really cool. So let's go back here to the Ducks. I got to ask, you know, what's been, I know we talked about the between the benches moment.
Yeah.
Got to name a couple other favorite moments that you've had since starting here.
Oh, there's been a lot. I mean, I feel like every year I look at some of the big things that have happened, and it's just growing every year.
Yeah.
I love going to the draft live shows that we've had the last 2 years, which sadly we're not going to be able to do.
But way to end it on a big note at the Sphere, right? Yeah. I remember I was in Vegas too, and I was like, you know what? I'm sad this is going away, but way to kind of end it on a big note, you know?
Yeah, the drafts are amazing. And I think for me personally, one of the reasons I love it so much is because it's the moment someone's dreams come true.
Yes.
It's so special. And to be a part of that, to be in the moment when they're able to experience that, if that draftee is at the draft, and to get to interview them, I mean, it's something they don't forget. And it's something I know we don't forget. Me, Kent French, yeah. Guy Bear, we were the three there this year. And it's so special. Just to see the start of then their NHL journey. So I think the drafts are something that we've had so much fun, just having fun, hanging out. I mean,
yeah.
the popcorn saga that we had this year, we had popcorn on our table and we're all trying to figure out what flavors they were from the media lounge area.
Oh, that's great. See, this is all the behind the scenes right here. And to go back, interviewing Beckett after that moment, mm-hmm. you got to tell us about that. I mean, like, first of all, your reaction to his reaction.
I don't, like, we were just shocked. I mean, that just kind of feeling like him. And then we had to get ourselves together, like, okay, what are we going to ask him? But I really think he kind of blacked out. Like, when he was interviewing with us, I don't even think he knew what was going on because he could not believe it.
Yeah, for sure. I remember even last year, this was probably after you guys interviewed him, but I had the pleasure of interviewing Leo mm-hmm. through, like, that virtual box.
Yeah.
We were here at Anaheim. It was so cool. But it was... I feel like I got a little snippet of what you get to do mm-hmm. that day, you know?
That was really cool with the hologram or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that was neat when you got to interview Leo. And Leo was just so excited. Like that moment for him, we were, because there was all that shock around that one too.
Yeah.
And when he came over, you could just tell, like, he was thrilled. We were so excited for him. And then we got to talk to his dad at the draft too, get the whole family story. It was special. And also knowing what a big part of this organization he's going to be going forward. We knew that when yeah. he was drafted. So to be there for that moment, and then I know him from day one, basically, it's also kind of helps my relationship with him 100%. In the long run.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel with Leo too. I mean, like being like the team DJ, like mm-hmm. I feel like I've been able, especially throughout the last couple of years and now having the show, being able to, like, you know, talk to him on another level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally feel what you're saying in terms of, like, knowing them from when they're drafted to hopefully being here for a long time with the organization. And so is there anyone else, like, I guess within the last few years that you've been here that kind of stands out from, like, just knowing them from young age to now, you know, you interview them now and, you know, do you see do you feel the growth? Do you feel, you know, just a difference with those guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, it's now, this is my third season. So it's been a process of kind of getting to know everyone. I remember how overwhelmed I was my first media day meeting the entire team, but how I came away from it, like, this team is so nice. It's full of great guys. And again, you're not going to get that everywhere. We're lucky that the team that we've always had in Anaheim, at least in the time I've been here, great to work with. And they've been very accepting of Duckstream, which it's difficult because it's a very vulnerable platform when you have these interviews and interactions with the players. And we're lucky that they are allowing us to be able to share their stories. But I think that there's been a few players I feel like I've kind of gotten to really know over the last few seasons. One in particular, you know, a guy like Ryan Strome, he's easy to get to know, but I remember specifically our first day, you know, it was his first year too with the team. And now I just feel like we're buddies whenever I see him. It's, you know, I can ask him about, you know, how his family's doing, just life too. I like to talk to the guys, not only about hockey and whatnot, but their lives. Like Lukasz Dostal, I feel like I've really gotten to know well, and just seeing his success has been exciting. One cool thing I will say is having currently Sam Colangelo on the team, because he was with the Chicago Steel I was working for them.
So go, like, way back.
We go way back when he was a young teenager. It was right before COVID, and, you know, that was my first season with the Steel. So I remember when we saw each other at development camp the first time, I was like, wait a minute, we know each other.
Dang.
So, and then we got to catch up, and now, you know, it's really neat to see his college journey. Now he's here in Anaheim, you know, obviously going down with the Gulls too.
Yeah.
So there's a few, and Cutter Goche this season, being a part of the whole trade last year, a situation where I know it was hard for him during that whole process, but he trusted us with being able to talk to him for the first time in a media setting. I think that, you know, that grew an immediate respect between the two of us.
For sure.
And he's someone that I enjoy chatting with too.
Is there anything to now, you know, you hit the goal, right? Like mm-hmm. early on, I want to work in the NHL. Mm-hmm. You're doing it. You're here in Anaheim. You've even done other big things. In the same exact setting, AD was in my seat interviewing the commissioner, Gary Bettman. Crazy. Like you've done so much. But is there still anything even now in year three mm-hmm. that you experience on a day to day that kind of hits you like, oh, wow, like I'm doing this, like anything in the routine or.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I it's whenever I drive to the rink in the morning for morning skate on a home game day. I always have those moments where I think about it like this is exactly what I wanted to be doing. Yeah. I'm doing it. I am someone that's like, okay, what's next? What can we do next?
Oh, of course.
And I love to challenge myself. And I feel like we've tweaked Duckstream over the last few seasons. I've joined the broadcast. Yeah. I have the TV segment this year. It's yes. just a continuous growing effort.
Sorry, hold on. I gotta reach for more flowers. Sorry. Here, I gotta hand these. Yes, since Victory Plus, AD's got the pregame show. She's on doing the postgame with Emmer.
Yeah,
like it went from like, hey, you're the host of Duckstream. You got like mm-hmm. your episodes of Light the Lamp, and you'll do you'll do some live stuff here and there. Yep. Now it's a part of the regular routine.
Oh yeah,
every game. Like, it's crazy.
We have so much fun. Yeah. I love working with Steve and Emmer on the broadcast. And we've experimented too with having a text line instead of call in. We have our Twitter polls. We take tweets on our Duckstream account. It's a fan driven show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we love that. And you know, Emerson's got such a big personality. He's so much fun to work with on the post game show in particular. It's been just great. I mean, I'm looking forward to what the next things are for Duckstream, because I think we're trying to figure things out, you know, what works, what doesn't, what can we continue to grow? What do our fans like? What do they want to hear?
Yep.
So it's always a process. And especially with the way the industry has changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you guys at Duckstream are willing to take some leads because they let me have my own show up on here. So,
hey, we're happy to have you. We are so happy to have you. I love that you have this platform now because you deserve that.
No, I appreciate it. You know, and I learned so much from you guys with regards to like how to even be doing these podcasts properly and the way you're presenting questions stuff. So just know I'm always learning. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a ton of fun. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm in episode 5. I hope I can hit 160, you know, like light the lamp over here.
We light the lamp a lot.
You light the lamp. So, and we love it. And even jumping on Eat 'Em Up for me, I was like, mm-hmm. like that was like a come in circle moment with Emmer being, you know, a former player himself. He started here like around the same time. Obviously he was on a way bigger scale being an actual player getting drafted. But mm-hmm. that was the year I started here with the organization. On the street team. And I remember being a big fan. I was like, oh, what? Local kid from Long Beach? Like, yeah. So that was kind of a coming circle moment. And this is a coming circle moment right here. With again, the queen of Duckstream right here. And now sitting on the other side, being on the guest on the show. This is incredible. And I hope you come back.
Oh, anytime.
You know, I think what people don't realize is that, you know, me and Alexis, we're here in the office full time, guys. You know, and I think that's the misconception, especially me as the DJ.
Yeah,
like it's like, oh yeah, yeah, you come for the games, like you know, you play the music, get people loud, whatever, and then like that's it, and we bounce. Or like for you, for example, and people might think that like, oh cool, like she does the pregame show, she does the game, does the post game, and then that's it. And like, no, we're in here all the time. So to be able to like just talk shop here, but on a show, we do this all the time. I walk by her desk every day. I say, good morning, ID. What's up? How's the weekend? Good. Okay, cool. I'll talk to you later. And then, you know, just throughout the week, we always just kind of little tidbits here and there, but to have it on the show is incredible. Again, congrats on just an amazing Women's Sports Night recently, but just an amazing career overall here with the Ducks.
Thank you.
So far. And I seriously look forward to all that growth that you just talked about. Like, you just continue to be hungry, but just know that don't be paying for, you know, your own way to go to whatever gig you want. I'll pitch in. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you some gas money or something.
I think we're hopefully past that. I mean, again, totally worth it. But
absolutely.
Yeah, it's something that hopefully people don't have to do for anymore. Sure. Yeah.
And with all that being said, to really end it off, last question is, you know, what truly is the message that you want to give to not just young ladies, but just overall anyone that is looking to crack, not only in the sports industry, but maybe into mm-hmm. what you do?
It sounds a little cheesy, but just dream big. I think that, like I said, anything you put your mind to, you can accomplish. It's hard and you're going to have a lot of no's, but you can do it. There's no reason you can't do it. And kind of going along with that, something that I've been living by a lot recently is embrace the journey.
Embrace it.
Because I feel like I get a little eager and, you know, sometimes impatient with things. And it's good to recenter yourself and just embrace the journey of life and your career.
Let's go. That's advice I actually need to follow right now, you know, to be honest. So thank you.
I think we all need it a little bit sometimes, especially in season.
I feel you. Well, let's keep the grind going, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, by the time this airs up, we're like almost halfway through the season.
We're getting there.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, let's keep the grind alive. Let's have some fun and let's go Ducks.
Let's go Ducks. I gotta take this one from Emerson.
Hey, there you go. Hey, the work don't stop. That's spinning it, y'all. We'll see y'all next time. Later.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.